Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you for that, Neil. Well, as you heard in the headlines there, a serving soldier who beat a woman unconscious in a random street attack and boasted about it on social media has walked free from court after being given a fully suspended sentence, which the victim described as not justice. Cathal Crotty, who's 22, of Parkrow Heights in Ardna Crush in County Clare, had initially tried to blame the victim, who was 24-year-old Natasha O'Brien, by wrongly telling Gorthy, who arrested him, that she had instigated the attack on O'Connell Street in Limerick on the 29th of May 2022. Now, in a few minutes, I'll speak with the CEO of Women's Aid, Sarah Benson. But for more on this case, I'm joined by David Raleigh, who's freelance journalist in Limerick. David, you're very welcome to the programme. You might give me the background and the circumstances of this attack.
Sure. Well, Cormac, at around 1:30 in the morning of the 29th of May 2022, Natasha O'Brien, who's from the North Circular Road in Limerick, who was 22 at the time, was walking home on O'Connell Street in Limerick City with a female friend. She had been working a late shift at a bar in the city, and she'd been on her way home when a man who was unknown to her, Cathal Crotty, who was walking with a group of five other male friends in front of Miss O'Brien and her friend, started shouting homophobic slurs at two men who were walking across the street. The court heard that when Miss O'Brien politely asked Mr. Crotty to stop shouting these slurs, he suddenly lashed out, grabbing her hair and began punching her in the head with full force, the court heard. Limerick Circuit Criminal Court heard that Mr. Crotty delivered at least six right hooks into Miss O'Brien's face. And during this unprovoked attack, Miss O'Brien fell to the ground and Mr. Crotty was on top of her, still raining down punches on her head. Miss O'Brien was pleading for Mr. Crotty to stop, but he continued punching her while she was on the ground and as she lost consciousness. And Mr. Crotty, it was heard, only stopped punching Miss O'Brien when a male passerby intervened. And Mr. Crotty ran away, but his friend stayed at the scene. He later bragged to others on Snapchat that he had punched a female and that it was not a good look. He said in reference to four of the punches that he delivered to Miss O'Brien, he wrote on Snapchat, two to put her down, two to put her out.
What did the victim tell the court, David, about the attack and the impact it had on her?
Well, in court, Cormac, Miss O'Brien bravely walked past Mr. Crotty to get into the witness box at Limerick Circuit Court to read her victim impact statement. She told the court that when Cathal Crotty attacked her, she went into a state of shock. She said she couldn't understand why this was happening to her. She felt completely helpless. She felt like she was being used as a punching bag. She said, I didn't feel human. She said she was laying in the fetal position and losing consciousness, and that Mr. Crotty continued what she called a relentless beating. She said, my last conscious thought was, he's not stopping, I'm going to die. And she said the physical injuries she sustained were devastating. She said she suffered a severe concussion, a broken nose, severe swelling, bruising to both her arms, her shoulders, her head, her right upper thigh, her left eye, her cheek, and her jawbone. And she said she spent the following weeks and months attending hospital and doctor appointments. And due to a persistent concussion, she was deemed a high risk for a brain bleed, and she received a battery of tests in hospital. She said she lived in constant fear that it could still result in her death, and that Cathal Crotty's actions left her in a place of darkness. She said she had been suffering from symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, and that she had had to attend multiple therapists since the attack. She said she had suffered a constant dread and isolation, and that she had spiraled into what she said was self-destructive behaviors. She said she had lost all interest and motivation for life, and that basic tasks at work became incredibly difficult for her, and she ultimately lost her job due to her rapidly declining performance at work. She said she became numb and detached from reality, and she said she was living in a perpetual fear of seeing Mr. Crotty again. She said in court that Cathal Crotty may not remember what he had done, but she said her memory of his vicious, sinister look in his eyes as he approached her will haunt her forever. She said she considered herself incredibly fortunate to be alive and to have her voice heard in court, and she said she believed the male passerby who intervened had saved her life. She told the court that she was in court to seek justice, not just for herself, but to protect others from violence and malice that she had experienced.
What did the court hear about the perpetrator, Cathal Crotty, David?
Well, the court heard that Mr. Crotty is a serving private in the Irish Defence Forces. He's based at Sarsfield Barracks in Limerick City. He was 20 years of age at the time. He is now 22. He had no previous convictions, and he was considered a model soldier by his superiors until they discovered what had happened. Garda Brian Carl, who was at Henry Street Garda Station in Limerick City, told the court that Mr. Crotty had initially tried to blame Miss O'Brien by wrongly telling the Gardaí who arrested him that she had instigated the attack. However, after Gardaí showed Mr. Crotty CCTV footage of him setting upon Miss O'Brien without provocation, he admitted his guilt. And that harrowing footage was played in court at Cormac. Mr. Crotty, who's got an address at Park Row Heights in Ardnacrush in County Clare, he pleaded guilty to one count of assault causing harm to Miss O'Brien, which is contrary to Section 3 of the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act. And his barrister, junior counsel Donald Cronin, said Mr. Crotty had still not given a full explanation for why he attacked Miss O'Brien. He said Mr. Crotty had been drinking all day and that the level of alcohol in his system may have had something to do with his behaviour on the night, although it wouldn't excuse it. And in fact, it would be considered by the court to be an aggravating factor. He said that Mr. Crotty was ashamed and embarrassed and that he wanted to apologise to Miss O'Brien. And Mr. Cronin asked the court not to jail Mr. Crotty. He said his army career was at stake. He was a young man. He was at a crossroads in his life, and he had pledged he would never again repeat what he had done.
And what did the judge, Tom O'Donnell, say then as he passed sentence?
The sentencing judge, Tom O'Donnell, wished Miss O'Brien well. He asked her if she understood the significance, as he put it, of Mr. Crotty's guilty plea, in that it had eliminated the necessity for a trial which would have compounded her trauma, and that if Mr. Crotty had contested the case, it would have prolonged the case by approximately 18 months. And Miss O'Brien told the judge that while she understood this, she said that she had already not only suffered the trauma of the attack, but 2 long years of trauma waiting for the criminal case to conclude. The judge said that Crotty's actions on the night were utterly appalling. He said that he had no doubt that if he imposed an immediate jail sentence, that Mr. Crotty's army career would be over. He said that Mr. Crotty took pride in striking a defenceless female in what was a cowardly, vicious, unprovoked, and totally unnecessary assault. The judge said that Mr. Crotty deserved no credit for initially trying to deflect blame on Miss O'Brien, but that he must be given credit for pleading guilty to assaulting Miss O'Brien. The assault charge carries a maximum 5-year jail sentence. And the judge said he had a huge judgment call to make in respect of Mr. Crotty's future. He said he had to take into account by law that Crotty had no previous convictions, Crotty's army career, that Crotty pleaded guilty early, which eliminated the necessity for a jury trial and the prolonged use of Garda and court resources, and that a trial would, as I said, would have compounded Miss O'Brien's trauma. Mm-hmm. And the judge said that, in fairness to Crotty, as he put it, he had come to court and publicly admitted his wrongdoing and that he had made a public acknowledgement of his criminality. Judge O'Donnell said he considered a headline sentence as one of 5 years. He imposed a 3-year sentence, which he suspended in its entirety. And he also ordered Mr. Crotty to pay €3,000 in compensation to Miss O'Brien without prejudice to any potential civil court proceedings.
Okay. Can I ask you briefly then, what did the victim, Natasha O'Brien, say about the sentence that was passed down, the suspended sentence?
Speaking afterwards, Natasha O'Brien criticised this sentence. She said she had lost her job because of Mr. Crotty's actions. As she said, because I was so impacted by what he did, but this judge doesn't want to jail him because it will mean he will lose his job. She said, that's not justice. She acknowledged that Mr. Crotty faces the prospect of his suspended jail sentence being activated should he reoffend within the next 3 years. But she said that while she was glad she had used her voice in court and that the public would know what Mr. Crotty had done, she said that in her opinion, the court had sent a message to Mr. Crotty and anyone else that they could attack women in public and not be jailed.
Freelance journalist in Limerick, David Raleigh, thank you very much indeed for giving us the detail there. I'm joined by the CEO of Women's Aid, Sarah Benson, as well. Sarah, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening.
What's your reaction?
Well, firstly, I think listening to the facts of the case set out as they have been there, it is extremely difficult to hear what was perpetrated against Nadine O'Brien and certainly Women's Aid wish to, Natasha O'Brien, we would want to commend her immense courage in pursuing the case to seek justice for the harm that was done to her. On Tuesday, Women's Aid launched our impact report for 2023, and we disclosed that we had received record disclosures of domestic abuse, over 40,000 disclosures, over nearly 29,000 contacts with our service. We talked about, you know, the national strategy, which is for zero tolerance of all forms of violence against women. And then a case like this today really does bring one pause. I think we have to really question how serious we are in Irish society when you have a situation where the record is clear in showing that somebody can, you know, walk down a public thoroughfare, publicly yell homophobic slurs, and then proceed to beat unconscious a woman who then is impacted by years of both mental and physical trauma, the consequences of which are clearly still ongoing, and yet is referred to as exemplary, as polite, as courteous, as professional. I just don't think that one can square that circle when it's a matter of record that this individual also perpetrated these acts. And go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about one feature of this, is the random nature of the attack. Is that worrying in your view?
I think any act of violence against women, whether it is somebody who is close or even in an intimate relationship with somebody, or somebody who is willing to perpetrate such an act in full public view, should be of serious concern. I think that, you know, we have to really take seriously our commitments. You know, this person is a serving soldier, and, you know, and at the same time, we have to look at the impact of this person's actions. And, you know, when somebody is presented with video evidence of what they have done, you know, how can they other than, you know, plead guilty, but having also, you know, done some really insidious initial actions, such as gloating about the behaviour, to feel that that is a permissible thing to do, that that might be received well on social media, to blame the victim for what has happened. These are tropes that are core to, you know, the issues, that the structural and systemic issues of misogyny that we really have to work to overcome. And I would have hoped we were in a better place than this case perhaps suggests.
And all of that was weighed up in court by the judge, as he said. Look, Sarah Benson of Women's Aid, thank you very much indeed for joining us and giving us your reaction to that. If you've been affected by any of the details of that report, help is available, I can tell you, at rte.ie/helplines.